Well, I want to start this morning by talking about leadership or power vacuums. You're probably familiar with this when a leader suddenly dies and there's no succession plan, there becomes a vacuum, a space that is empty. Pierre is a time of confusion, a time where, well, who's in charge here? And those leadership vacuums often get filled up either with chaos or division or rivals who fight their way to find that power. Recently, we saw an orderly succession as Queen Elizabeth died, and then her son, now King Charles III, ascended to the throne. That was very orderly. That had been scripted out. Everybody knew what would happen. We also saw a very disorderly succession in Afghanistan recently, where the NATO powers pulled out, and there was a bit of a who's in charge, and the Taliban rose up and took control of the situation. So we saw an orderly succession and a disorderly succession. Well, leadership's important for a nation, for an organization, and we are grateful for good leaders, and we're disappointed with poor leaders. But companies, countries, they get anxious oftentimes when there is a transition. And so this week, we are at our final journey through the book of Numbers. We've just been hop-skipping through this book as we've picked up some of the essential texts that we need to learn from the book of Numbers. And this one is where Moses is at the end of his life. He has led the nation of Israel for the past 40 years through the wilderness, and now he's at the brink of the promised land, and he's going to die. And so he is concerned, and we will be reading that passage. As I said, this is our final sermon in this series, but next week we'll begin our Advent series, which will be based on the different aspects of Jesus that we find in the song, O Come, Emmanuel. So that is what the future holds in store for you. But for this Sunday, I'm going to invite Duane forward to read our scripture passage.
Morning. Numbers 27, 12 through 23 is what we'll be reading, but let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day that we can come and gather in your name. Thank you that you gave us your word and that we can hold it in our hand. I just pray that as we hear your words, as Pastor Tom brings his message, that not only would we hear what you have to say, but that we would respond to it. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go up this mountain in the Arabim range and see the land I have given the Israelites. After you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people as your brother Aaron was. For when the community rebelled at the waters in the desert of Zin, both of you disobeyed my command to honor me as holy before their eyes. These were the waters of the Meribah Kadesh in the desert of Zin." Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God who gives breath to all living things, appoint someone over this community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so that the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hands on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly, and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority so that the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions from him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command, they will come in." Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he laid his hands on him and commissioned him as the Lord instructed through Moses. This is the word of the Lord.
So we have come to the life of Moses at the very end. His earthly days are finished, and he's having to hand the reins over to someone else. So my outline is going to be pretty simple. It's going to be Moses' death. We're going to look up at that. And then Moses' prayer for the future. And finally, the new leader that God provides, Joshua. First, Moses' death. Moses is one of those great heroes of the Bible. If you know just a few Bible characters, you probably know about Moses. He is just a bigger-than-life figure who brings the plagues upon Egypt, and God uses to split the Red Sea. And yet he had his faults, didn't he? He had a lot of faults, and some of those faults kept him from entering the promised land. So think about this. He has been faithful as a servant of God for many years, and the goal of the Exodus was not the wilderness. It was the promised land, the land that God was given to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses has led them 40 years in the wilderness, and they are in Moab, right across the Jordan River from Jericho, but they're not in the promised land yet. And here Moses is going to die before they cross over the river and inherit the land that God has given him. Why? Why is he dying outside the promised land? Why is this great figure not allowed to enter the land that God has given? Well, it all goes back to Numbers chapter 20. And there in Numbers 20, the people had been grumbling that there is no water in the wilderness. We have seen a lot of grumbling in Numbers. And this is one of those times we need water. And Moses and Aaron go to God with this need. And God responds, "Speak to the rock, and water will pour forth for the people." And Moses and Aaron, they don't quite obey God the right way. What they do is they disobey God. Instead, they come out to the people and say, "You rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" They take credit. "No, we're going to bring water out of this rock, not God." And then Moses takes his staff and he hits the rock. God has said to speak to the rock. Moses strikes the rock. Water does come forth, but it was a sin. And Moses is kept from entering the promised land because of that. Was it an overly harsh punishment? Moses doesn't seem to think so. He relates it several times in his account that this is what happened, and this is why he couldn't enter the promised land, but he never seems to say it was unfair. He simply reports it to say, to encourage the Israelites to not repeat his mistake, to obey the Lord and not disobey. But Moses and his actions, he brings honor to himself instead of God, right? He dishonors God. That is part of it. But also in this hitting of the rock, there's something interesting that happens with that rock. In the book of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, it says there was a rock that followed them in the wilderness, and that rock was Christ. And so he's striking Christ, which is interesting. And therefore, this sin, Moses is kept from entering the promised land. Now, he's 120 years old at this point. He had spent 40 years in Egypt and then 40 years in the wilderness by himself. And then the last 40 years, he has spent leading the children of Israel out of Israel or out of Egypt into the promised land or towards the promised land, to be correct. And yet he is still strong. At 120, he still has good eyesight, the scriptures tell. At 120, he still has strength to climb mountains. And so he's the strength of a much younger man. And so God tells him to hike up the mountains of the Abiram Range. And he gets to the top, and other parallel passages tell us it's Mount Nebo that he is on. And actually, I have a couple slides there, and there's one artistic rendition of Moses on top of Mount Nebo overlooking the promised land. And God gives him supernatural vision here. He is able to see all the way up to the north into Galilee, the land that God has given to the children of Israel. He's able to see all the way to the south, to see the Negev and Beersheba and all the places that God has given to the people of Israel, and all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. And so he is able to overlook God's good blessing, this land flowing with milk and honey, the promise that had been given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then the scriptures say he will be gathered to his people. Isn't that a great way to talk about death? Gathered to his people. It shows that the powerful hand of God is in control of bringing a person home, doesn't it? You know, this time of year is a time where it's just difficult for many who are grieving. We miss people we loved who are no longer alive and who no longer sit at the table with us and are there to talk to on the phone or to share advice. And yet they have been gathered, right? They have been gathered into God's presence. They are no longer alive on this earth, but they are in the Lord's presence. They are more fully alive than we are right now. And so Moses, he did not enter the promised land physically, but he was gathered into Abraham's bosom, gathered up into the Lord's presence. And so shall we be. And that is a joy. Now, Moses, you will remember at the Mount Transfiguration later, will appear in the Promised Land. And so kind of keep that in the back of your mind as well. But Moses, at this moment in his life, at 120, God has said, your time on earth is finished. He is concerned for the future of Israel. He does not want to leave them leaderless. And so that's my second point, is his prayer for the future. Moses turns to God and asks him to provide the next leader. He may have had Joshua in his mind. Joshua has been his assistant for many years. He'd be a good candidate. Yet it's not hard to believe that perhaps Moses wanted one of his own sons to be the next leader of Israel. But Moses does not presume to make that choice himself. He instead brings it to the Lord. Lord, you appoint someone to lead this nation. You appoint, Lord. He's very humble in this request. You know, we often have similar anxiety about the future, don't we? Who is going to lead us into the future? What's going to happen? We can't do it all, and yet we can follow Moses' example to make it a matter of prayer. And friends, we should. We should be praying for the coming leaders. Right now, I announced that we're going to have election of officers, and the nominating committee has been working hard to nominate, to bring some nominations for your vote of who will lead this church in the years to come, who will be the elders, the deacons, the trustees that will be spiritual leaders for us. Let's make this a matter of prayer as a congregation, that God would provide the right leaders for us. And let us also be praying for the next generation. As we fear the future, right? Oftentimes that's we get a little anxious about transitions and anxious about what the future holds. Let's make it a matter of prayer for the next generation. God is already raising up, that He is already at work in their lives. And let's pray for their protection and for continued support of this congregation, that they would lead not the way we've always done things, but that they would lead how God wants them to lead. That they would lead into a new future that many of us don't know how does this technology and how does the changing morals of our land and our day and into a lot of confusion. Friends, God is always at work. He has people planned to lead His church. Let's pray for them and seek Him out. Now, when I was looking at this in studying Numbers 27, I kept coming across this phrase. Moses prays not just about spiritual leader, but somebody who would go out and come in before the nation. I thought, well, that's a strange phrase, and it's used in there a couple times. You know, what does this mean? And I researched it, and it's this military language. It's talking about someone in charge of the conquest of Israel, someone to lead the army. To go out in front of the army and to bring order and assembly to the nation as they go forth to conquer the promised land that God is giving to them. You know, we need that leader, we need that organization, because on our own, people tend to become divided and do their own thing. So Moses pleads with the Lord. He says, don't let your people be like sheep without a shepherd. Moses himself was a shepherd for 40 years. He knows that well. And he knows that the sheep need someone to walk in front of them, to lead them to new pastures and to water and to what is coming. Now, when we think of shepherding and herding sheep, we in the American and the Western world often think about sheepdogs, right? And them yipping at the sheep's heels and driving them into a new pasture or a fenced-in area. And yet that's not the biblical image of shepherding. This is what shepherding looks like in the Middle East, is the shepherd walks in front of the sheep. And he sings a song, he plays a tune on his flute or something, and all the sheep follow him. And he goes in front of them. He goes in front of them to face the dangers. If there is a lion or a bear, he is the first one there to see the dangers. He's there to protect them. And you can see that this is not lush green pasture land for sheep, is it? He must go ahead and find the pastures, find the grazing grounds, find the water. And so that is the ancient Near Eastern picture of shepherding, the one who goes in front and who leads from the front. You know, we often don't like to think of ourselves as sheep, not a real flattering image, and yet it's a very scriptural image. That is how we often should view ourselves, is that we are sheep, not the smartest creatures on the face of the earth, and those are vulnerable to a lot of dangers. And yet, the scriptures are time and time reminding us that we have a shepherd. We have a shepherd. We are not sheep that are on our own out there. We have someone who has gone before us and is going before us and is leading us and caring for us and guiding us and protecting us and defending us. Well, we've looked at Moses' death and why he did not enter the promised land. We looked at Moses' prayer for the future, that God would provide a shepherd to take over the leadership of Israel. And my third point was just looking at Joshua, this new leader that God provides for the nation. God does answer Moses' prayer by saying, it's Joshua, son of Nun. Appoint him to be the next leader of Israel, for he has God's spirit within him. And in a parallel passage in Deuteronomy 34, it actually says that he has the spirit of wisdom on him, given by Moses' laying on of hands. And I have another slide here. Oops, can you help me out? Maybe. There it is. So that is another artistic rendition. And this is Moses standing up with his back to us. Joshua's kneeling down. Moses has his hand on his head. And then you have Eleazar in his high priestly garb right behind them, and the other priests kneeling in the background. And so this is the commissioning of Joshua. And it's noteworthy. It's done in the presence of the high priest, Eleazar. That's mentioned three times here. It's you realize that Joshua's leadership is going to be different than Moses' leadership. In fact, it says that Moses is to take some of his authority and put it on Joshua. Isn't that an interesting phrase? He's supposed to take some of his authority and place it on Joshua. And yet, Joshua will be the military leader. He'll be the political leader. He's going to be the next leader for this nation. But he needs to work underneath Eleazar, the spiritual leader, the high priest. He's to go to him for decisions and what the Urim and the Thummim say to reveal God's revelation. It's going to be different than Moses. And he receives that authority through the laying on of hands. Now, laying on of hands we see as a way of blessing in the Old Testament, but also a transfer of authority. And we see it not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament as well. The elders lay their hands and they impart a blessing, or they impart an authority, a giving of a spiritual authority to others. And so we still practice that today. When we ordain deacons and elders, we have them kneel, and the elders surround them and place their hands, passing on spiritual authority to these individuals that God has called into leadership. So as a church, we keep passing on that leadership to the next generation, to new people, and trusting that God will use them to take this church farther than we could take them. Sometimes we're more like Moses that have brought them as far as we could, but not to their final destination yet. And so we impart our authority so that new leaders that God is bringing can keep taking the church farther into God's plan. And that's one reason that we value our next generation so much at this church. We love our children and our youth. And when we look at our children and our youth, we see what God is doing. We see that he has a future for this church. He is not done. And so we value them and the gifts they have. And we take our duties to instruct and to love them seriously. Okay, so I've been focusing a lot on Moses and Joshua, events that happened, you know, a couple thousand years ago. And you might be still wondering, well, what does this have to do with our lives today? Because our lives are in the midst of 2023. It's a pretty scary world we live in. You might call it a dumpster fire out there. You know, how are we to manage all the influence of AI, of technology changing? How are we to present good news when the world seems to be at war with one another? What are we to do with this new atheism and this atheism that's evangelizing, that's out there spreading the opposite message that we have? You know, we feel like there's so many obstacles that we are living in the world today. The values just are not in sync with the scriptural values we have. And so we feel like, what are we to do? We feel like a bit like a sheep and saying, Lord, provide a Joshua. Provide someone to go before us to lead us into your kingdom and what you're doing. And that's where I've come to good news, friends. God has provided Joshua for us. He has. He has provided someone to shepherd his people, the good shepherd. Now, it's not literally Joshua you see in this picture. Joshua died, and then a generation rose up and judges who forgot all that Joshua and Moses had taught, and they did what was wise in their own eyes, and they went off to sin, and God was gracious and rose up a good judge or a good shepherd and brought the people back to God. But when that leader died, the people went right back, and this is cycled back and forth through the judges and then the kings of some good shepherds bring the people under God's authority, and then people forget. But that cycle has ended. Because there has been a final Joshua, a final good shepherd who lives forever. Now, Joshua's name in Aramaic is Yeshua, and Yeshua is the name Jesus that we have in our scripture. So, you know, in that name itself, we have this connection that Jesus is this one that was to go before us to bring us into the promised land, to bring us ahead of us to conquer and to be victorious for us, that we might be the sheep who get the good pasture, this land flowing with milk and honey. And Jesus, he died, but he rose again, never to die again. He's our eternal good shepherd. He is with us today in 2023. He is with us to protect and provide for us. And that is something I want to encourage you with, that Jesus is leading us in and out, that he is giving us wisdom today, that we do not need to be afraid or discouraged in the midst of the chaos of the world. There's another parallel passage in Deuteronomy 31 where this scene is played out in the end of that book as well. And Moses is speaking to Israel, saying that he will not cross the Jordan with them. And he says, the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. Did you hear that? The Lord himself will cross over ahead of you. He, God, will destroy the nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. And then it says this, Joshua also will cross over ahead of you. So there's two stages of shepherding here, right? The Lord crosses over and destroys the enemy, and then we have Joshua that goes ahead of them. And then he says, be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them, for it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Friends, that's a message I want you to hear today too. It's a message I want us to hear. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The enemy may look like giants. The enemy may look like mountains that are formidable. It may look like a valley that we don't know we're going to get out of. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Your shepherd goes ahead of you. Your shepherd goes with you, and he will not leave you or forsake you. So I want those words to be ringing in our minds as we face the future. We do not go alone. We have a shepherd. I also want to encourage us that Jesus is greater than Moses, because he not only sees from the mountaintop, but he is more like that Joshua that crosses over the Jordan and boldly leads us into God's kingdom, God's promised land. And that promised land of the Holy Land, it was never fully conquered. The sin of Israel kept it from being a place of rest as God had designated. But the scriptures say there will be a more perfect promised land, a place of rest, a place of joy. And it is God who's at work advancing us, the church, into God's kingdom. And he's raising people up even now to lead us on that journey. Now, when I think of Moses's being on that mountaintop and what he could see, I'm reminded of a very famous sermon about the mountaintop, and maybe you are familiar with Martin Luther King Jr., that less than 24 hours before he was assassinated, he was called to speak at Temple Church there in Memphis, and he wasn't planning to go that night. There was a big rally, but he wasn't feeling well. He had decided to stay home. He was going to have someone else preach for him. But when the guest preacher, who was the fill-in, was there, he realized, no, Martin needs to be here. And so he called him up. Martin came, although he was sick, and he gave a sermon. Now I'm going to play about a minute of this for you if I can get this to work, and then I'm going to stop it.
Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Then you're all familiar with what happened on April 4th. He was shot. But friends, you heard Martin Luther King Jr.'s this passion. He was preaching about this passage in Numbers 27 about being on that mountaintop and seeing ahead. And he had that same vision for the people. Do you have that vision? Have you been up to that mountaintop and looked ahead through the eyes of the Spirit to see the good promised land God is providing, that he's leading his church into? Have you? Do you have that same vision Martin Luther King had? I pray that we do, and that we are therefore bold and courageous to rise up and take the land that God is giving to us. To have the faith to obey God's commands, to advance his kingdom, even when life gets scary. 1968 was a dumpster fire then too. Is God also speaking to your heart that you need a shepherd? Perhaps you're here today and you long that you'd have a good shepherd to walk with you. Well, he is a good shepherd and he loves you. And that's the good news I want to make sure I make plain today, is that you have a shepherd who goes out before you. And if you don't know him, if you don't know Jesus, come talk to me, talk to somebody, because he has made himself, he has revealed himself through the scriptures. We'd love to introduce him to you because he's our only hope. And we want you to have that hope as well. A hope of a promised land, a hope of a good future, that the door to God's presence is now open through Jesus. Is today God encouraging you to trust him with your future? That although you may not lead forever, although you may not live forever, that his kingdom is marching on, that his church will not be snuffed out, even though candles may be snuffed out. Let us entrust ourselves and our children and our grandchildren to God's powerful hand, and that he will do greater things than we have ever seen, and that the power of darkness will not win the war, for it has already been won by our shepherd, Jesus Christ, on the cross and through his resurrection from the dead. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, I thank you so much for transitions of leadership that your hand is evident upon. And we thank you that Joshua led the people faithfully and it was a good leader, but that he was not a final leader, that was another Joshua, another Yeshua, another Jesus, the ultimate shepherd who has come to lead us, through his life and death and resurrection, that we might join him in journeying to the promised land. Keep that vision before us, that it might encourage us, that it might make us faithful. For Lord, you alone are the author and perfecter of our faith. And we thank you that your hand has led us on our way thus far, and that your mercies are patient with us. When we stray, you bring us back. Our confidence is not in ourselves. We are like sheep that have gone astray. Our confidence is you, our shepherd. Your kingdom is promised to all those who trust in Jesus Christ. So while we might feel vulnerable in the face of our enemies, we sing your praises because you know that you will not leave us or forsake us. We joyfully worship you this morning, entrusting to you ourselves, our tithes, our offerings, asking that you'd help our wallets to reflect our trust in you. We also ask that you would help us to be good stewards of the positions of leadership that you have given to us. New ones that you're calling people in to step into, old ones that we have held for years, or perhaps shepherding our children or others. Lord, may all that work be done as faithful servants unto you, that we might pass on to the next generation what you have taught to us, and that we might pray for them. And Father, whether they be old or young, may all of us be ever growing deeper in our own faith that we might teach it to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.